Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Crunch time! Crunch time! You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Crunch time! Crunch time!
That's right, Kansas City. You are listening to Crunch Time with Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bowl. It's a Thursday night in the heat of the summer where football practices for all different levels are being conducted. And that's where I'm at right now. I'm up here at Turner High School coaching the Kansas Metro All-Star team and having a great time with these kids up here, a bunch of great kids. And they'll play next Thursday night right here at Turner High School. So if you're looking for something to do and you need a little bit of a football fix, come out and support these young men as they are out here working in the heat. They probably haven't been doing much, Frank, as you know, and all of a sudden they're back in a football season and they have a game, but they're out here working hard, and it's been a great experience. I'm glad to do this. This is the second time I've coached this game. I coached the Shrine Game one time, the East-West Shrine Game in for Kansas, and then coached the U.S. Army Game, the National Game. It was an East-West game also. I enjoy working with these kids. It's a lot of fun, and we're having a good time. But real quick, I want to thank our great friends from CBD America Shaman, one of the fastest-growing sectors of American Shaman products. And the market is the pet area. And I will tell you this, Frank. You and I talked a little bit earlier today about it. We had the tornado that kind of whipped through the other night. And our dogs are usually kind of freaky and do not like storms. When it rains, they start to shake. When it thunders, they start to pant. And when tornadoes come, I thought their heads were going to pop off. But guess what, Frank? It didn't happen. The pressure of the tornado and all that, I mean, you want to talk about wind and the sound of that storm that the tornado came through just, probably about 10 blocks away from us. We had some big tree limbs down in our yard, and the dogs slept like babies. So I'm telling you guys, whether it's a canine hemp oil, whether it's a CBD dog treats, they also have a soft CBD dog treats, a little bit smaller for your smaller dogs. They also have the CBD Doggy Nugs, which is another option. And then, of course, don't forget about your cats. They have the cat hemp oil tinctures. And then they also have treats for the cats. And then your horses. They have horse treats and they have horse liniments that you could get for your horses. So American Shaman loves your pets, too. And it's the fastest growing. I was checking it out today, Frank. As you know, I kind of the day of. We'll search, put American Shaman in Google, and go to news and see what's going on. And the top story is the by 2026-27, American Shaman, which is leading the industry in the pet area products, is going to be the fastest growing sector in CBD, is taking care of your pets. And as you know, Frank, you have Lucy at home there. We love our pets, and we'll do anything for our pets. And it really helped us out. I am just so thrilled with the product that we've been using. You know, now, I mean, gosh, I love it for me, but now, I mean, I am all in. So if you have a dog that freaks out during storms, try this, because we've done the pharmaceutical stuff, and the dog is, like, laying around for the next 3 days, like, with drool coming out of their mouth, right? So, you know, yeah, it sucks for the dog, and this has been great for him.
Oh, you crack me up. Oh, my God. Number one, cats don't give a damn. Okay, that's the first thing. Cats, they don't care. They don't care what's coming through. Number two, I've never known that storm was even coming, except that Sarah's kids called her on the phone and said, "Are you two okay out there? Are you in the basement?" And we're going, "What?" And we there were no sirens out there. There was no, we didn't have... You know, I live out in Spring Hill, so we're a lot further south. So we would have slept right through that thing the other night. But some other people, really, it was situation where it could have been extremely dangerous. There are a lot of, you know, limbs through roofs and crushing cars and all kinds of stuff happening right there, 95th and right along 95th Street there. Just came ripping right through that area. So Ned isn't far from you. So being the worst time for a storm is at night. After the sun goes down, that is the scariest time for any kind of severe weather. So have the severe weather alerts on your phone.
Yeah, we did.
Listen for the sirens will be out there and the whole thing. And you'll, you should be alert. There were some people complaining, well, our alerts didn't go off and the siren didn't go off. And, you know, it was just a matter of them trying to pinpoint exactly where that storm was going. And sometimes it's tough to pinpoint that exactly where it's going to end up. Storm's a storm. It's going to do it at once most of the time. You know, jump around and move from this spot to that spot. And, you know, the tornado goes up, back up into the clouds, and it drops back down later, and all kinds of strange things. So just have the weather alerts on there and stay alert and use CBD American Shaman. And, you know, you use the gummies for the human beings, Tim. They will help you sleep right through some of those things as well. So there you go.
You don't worry about storms. Just sleep right through it.
No, you're going to sleep right through it. You wake up, you have a roof on your house. Wow, what happened here last night?
What? If you slept right through that. We have some tinctures for you. You have the anxiety.
That's exactly right.
No big deal. We'll take care of that later. All right, Frank. Well, there's a little bit of drama / anxiety maybe going on over at the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you brought it up today, a little bit about Orlando Brown. We were talking about a little bit earlier. Why don't you go through that situation real quick and what's going on and what's your take?
Well, you know, when he was on NFL Network, I think, and he was talking about, you know, he finally signed an agent, a guy who has never negotiated an NFL contract before, so that's going to be interesting. You know, from his standpoint, it took him a while to find that guy. He said, I went through a lot of people and decided on this guy. And the guy has a lot to do with, he wants to him to help him brand. He's a diabetic. A lot of his family members are diabetic. This guy is in that area. And he wanted him to come and help him with his brand and all these things. I guess he just felt comfortable with him. Orlando Brown's a pretty smart guy. Okay, yeah. So we'll have to see how this happens. Now, to me, He sort of left it wide open. You can hear from more Orlando Brown here on the NFL Network. And he sort of, when you listen to the whole thing, he just drops this little thing in there about, well, they don't want to play with a backup tackle, do they?
Very confident, man. Especially simply based off the things that have come into effect within our division, man, the type of defensive ends that have been brought in, the type of players and all of that type of stuff, man. It's not the year to go into a season with a backup left tackle. So, you know, I'm very confident that the Kansas City Chiefs will get that done.
So he throws that out there, and naturally that's the first thing everybody climbs aboard on, you know, and they just, and the Chiefs do not want to play with a backup tackle. He is franchised at the moment. He has until, I think, July 15th, I think, Tim, right there. I think it's July 15th. He has to sign a new contract before he'd have to play on the franchise tag. He does not want to. It sounds to me when he says what he said about playing with a backup tackle, he sounds like he's willing to sit. And as far as I'm concerned, the Chiefs really can't have him sit, because if it's not Orlando Brown, who's it going to be? Is it going to be someone on your own roster? Is it going to be now you're going to play dominoes with the offensive line, start moving Joe Tooney around and starting to swap guys from this position to that position? The rookie, my brain's fried, Rudy, the rookie they brought in the offensive tackle.
Darian Kennard.
Yeah, Darian Kennard. Will Kennard be good enough and be up to speed to be able to play? And they're really thinking, hopefully he's good enough and up to speed to play right tackle, knowing that you have Orlando Brown at left tackle, and then hopefully he can handle that position. Now what are you going to do? So to me, if not him, who? Saran and I were talking about this. He is not worth $25 million a year. He just doesn't grade out that well on the PFF grade. So it's a dilemma. We heard some stuff today as well from Andy Reid about he feels very confident they'll get things done. So we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah, I know you have a lot of sound in the second segment. I'll be back out here practicing to play some sound. So my take on that is, yeah, I think Orlando Brown is using this situation. And, you know, he's not lying. He's exactly right. you cannot go into the season with a backup left tackle or a backup really right tackle in this AFC West. The AFC West has, I think, the best defensive lines in football. And, you know, with Khalil Mack signing with the Chargers, and then, of course, you have Bosa, and you have, the guy from the Raiders. I'm drawing a blank on his name. But they have all kinds.
Right. They have here are the edge rushers that they're going to have to face just in the AFC West, let alone you see the rest of the teams on their schedule all have some really good defensive players. Denver has Bradley Chubb and Randy Gregory. Las Vegas Raiders have Max Crosby and Chandler Jones. And the Los Angeles Chargers have Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. And San Francisco has Nick Bosa. Okay, so we got all the Bosas. We got the Bosa Bosas. And you've got all kinds of people. So you got to protect Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I don't think you want a backup at either left or right tackle if you want to get things done in the AFC West.
Yeah, no, and I mean, that is an unbelievable lineup of defensive ends. And also, I mean, there's some good inside guys. The defenses around the AFC West are really, really good. And listen, that's been a reactive draft or reactive idea for defense coordinators to try to stop Patrick Mahomes. So this is on purpose. There's a reason why they're going out and getting these guys because they know that they got to knock the Chiefs off their perch. And the way to knock the Chiefs off the perch is to pressure Patrick Mahomes. Well, the way to keep the Chiefs on that tree and to keep the Chiefs on the top is to get Patrick Mahomes time and to protect him. If you don't have Orlando Brown, it's an issue. Now, to your point and to Petro's point, I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah, I don't think he is the best offensive tackle in the league. I don't think he should be paid as one of the best offensive tackles in the league. I think he's a very good tackle. I think he might be the best right tackle in the league, but he certainly is not the best left tackle in the league, and that's where he wants to play. And he does struggle at times, and he did early in the season. Now, he got better as the season progressed, but early in the season, he struggled. He's a bit of a waistbender, which means that when you punch, your head goes down, and which means that when you punch in your pass protection, your legs are straight, and you're reaching out with your hands and your head, and you're not bringing your legs, and they call that a waistbender. And that's what puts you in big-time trouble, especially in the NFL, with good technique and speed guys coming off the edge, is you cannot be in a bad position with a waistbending type of a technique or a set. So he struggled with that a little bit early. He got better, but he still is not one of the best at that. Is he a serviceable offensive tackle? Absolutely. Is he the guy the Chiefs need? Absolutely. But there's got to be a way to get across to him that he has to realize that, hey, listen, yeah, I may not be the best left tackle in the league, but, you know, I asked to play left tackle, and, you know, I may have to settle for a little bit less. But, I don't know. If he holds all the cards, though, right now. He really does, because if he doesn't play, this puts the Chiefs in major, major issues. There's nobody right now on that roster. There's nobody on that roster that can go out and play left tackle, play consistently like Orlando Brown. And if you, like you said, if you take one guy, you put Tooney out there, you know, and when you take a guy and you move him out and you slide somebody in, it weakens the five. Now think of the offensive line like a hand, all five fingers, right? In order for that hand to be strong, in order for that hand to work together, you got to make a fist. And all five got to come together, and they got the strength of the fist. But if you have five, four, three, and you're not closing those other two fingers, you're not as strong, and you don't have as good of a chance to have success. So the Chiefs have got to figure this out. They've got to figure out a way to sign him. I don't think they want to pay him as much as he wants, and it's going to be an interesting. Brett Veach and Andy Reid will earn their money. No wonder Andy's been in a bad mood, because he's been knowing this is coming. I tell you, Frank, I'd be in a crappy mood if I was like, man, I may lose my left tackle. This is a dangerous situation for the Kansas City Chiefs if Orlando Brown holds to his guns and says, I want to be the highest paid guy, and holds out and doesn't play. man, I'll tell you what, that's going to hurt the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, and the biggest thing for me during the offseason, and until this came up where he said, you know, they don't want to play with a backup left tackle, is I was really concerned about right tackle, okay, because they really don't have one. Now, Kennard's a rookie. You don't know whether he's going to play out there or not. They have some bodies of some people who could play out there, but really, you know, no one you'd be that that confident in to play that position. Somebody told me, is Eric Fisher a free agent? Is that right? The former Chiefs tackle played for Indianapolis? I think Eric Fisher is a free agent too. But or try to make a trade with somebody. Here you've accumulated all these draft picks, you know, on the Tyreek Hill thing and all. You got a lot of draft picks coming up next year, and all of a sudden you need a left tackle, and some team knows you need our left tackle. We'll be glad to trade for you, but man, you are going to pay a king's ransom to get our guy to come to you. You know, one of those deals. So maybe a team is not quite in playoff contention yet that's looking to add some people through the draft and get younger, like a lot of teams are, like the Chiefs are trying to do. So it's pretty interesting. So you know, we'll see. We'll have to see what happens. But I don't like the way this is all shaping up. Now it's both sides of the team on the lines. You know, you got edge issues on the defensive line, all right, and you really have, except for, my brain's fried. Except for
Clark,
Clark is a non-entity to me. I mean, he hasn't played up to his ability, and now you're going to put a rookie, Karloftis, out there on the other side. You got Chris Jones on the inside, but you don't have anybody else on the other side, you know, except in a rotation. So both sides, both lines, both the offensive line and the defensive line, at the moment, have huge question marks for the Kansas City Chiefs, and you just don't like that. I mean, that is not the way to go into an offseason and get prepared for what's coming up here this summer when they head up to, up to St. Joe for preseason camp.
Yeah, and getting back to your point about, seeing if you can go out and find somebody. Boy, it's just so hard this time of year. Now, I think there may be another round of free agent cuts coming up. Correct me if I'm wrong. There's another round of free agent cuts coming up that, you know, people can sometimes release veteran players to kind of, you know, take it easier on their salary cap. So maybe somebody would pop out there. But I doubt that anybody is cutting a left tackle that is worth his salt at this time of the year. And if you're going to trade, which is a possibility because the Chiefs have the chips for that. They can cash in some first rounders and some second rounders. Now, remember, Frank, pretty much mandated to Andy Reid, we have to have a first round draft pick next year. Right?
Jeez.
You do not want to have draft
if you're sitting there, you want to improve your football team in 2022 and maybe moving forward to 2023, don't tell me mandatorily I have to have a first-round draft choice for the Kansas City Chiefs. Because if you're going to where you want to go, your draft choice is going to be the last one on the list anyway. Okay, it's going to be the last pick of the day. So we'll see.
Right,
I know.
It's like going to the movies and not having popcorn, man. I mean, the hell kind of deal with that? Can you imagine the Chiefs fans, if the Chiefs say they have to trade their first pick, or they don't have a first rounder, maybe not a second rounder. Just like, you know, it was Oakland last year, they didn't draft in the third round. Can you imagine the Chiefs fans waiting till Saturday in Kansas City for the draft to draft a player? There would be a revolt in this town.
Oh boy.
People are already upset when they don't have a first round draft choice, but now they have it in Kansas City for the first time where you don't have any picks till Saturday? Oh my gosh. So, I mean, once again, if Orlando Brown must be a really smart guy, because he's thinking, okay, number one, they need me more than I need them. All right.
Oh, he knows he's holding the cards at the moment.
Number two, there's not a lot of big time guys that are probably going to get cut. So you're not going to find somebody off the scrap heap and bring him in and play left tackle.
Who
and
would know three, the offense? Who would, like yeah. he already knows the offense. Yeah, go ahead.
And number three, Clark Hunt said, hey, do not get rid of our first round draft choice.
Okay. That gives Orlando Brown more power. Okay.
I hope he's not listening to this show.
No.
I hope everybody is but him.
Yeah.
I think they
have it figured out pretty much.
Yeah. They better get figured out. So, Frank, I don't know if you saw real quick, and I know we're running towards a break here, but in one of the articles I was looking at today, I think it was in CBS Sports or something, they broke down the AFC win totals and predictions for the AFC West. And the first point is the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Broncos are all predicted to win double-digit games.
Right.
And it's one of the first times that three teams in one division are predicted to win double-digit games. Thoughts on that point to start?
Well, I think the division with them has gotten a lot closer. Look what everybody has done during the offseason to try to catch the Kansas City Chiefs. Everybody's trying to catch the Chiefs. Now the NFL feels everybody's starting to catch up. I mean, the Chiefs are probably going to finish 12-5 or 11-6, right in that area somewhere. Will that, depending on how they do in the AFC West, will that be good enough to win the West? Will they hold a tiebreaker over a team maybe they are tied with at the end? I don't think they're going to sweep the AFC West. I think it's more than likely they'll probably split the AFC West instead of sweeping it. And, it's just going to come down to a matter of, you know, who's hot, who's got it, and who's got the lead at the end. And the whole thing for me, Chargers gotten better, Denver's gotten better, the Raiders gotten better, everybody's gotten better. So it's going to be a real fight in the AFC West to see who wins that division, let alone trying to secure the number one seed for the playoffs with a 12-5 or 11-6 record. I don't think that's going to be good enough for number one seed. Now, things can happen in the playoffs. Number one seed can lose. Obviously, that happens. You can go from there and be the number two seed or number three seed and, you know, catapult yourself up or win from the wild card. Teams have won the Super Bowl from the wild card. You don't like to try to do that, but they've done it. So we'll just have to see how things play out. But it's going to be extremely competitive, and they're going to be very young on defense, no matter who plays that other edge rusher, okay, whether it's a rookie or whether it's a guy who is on the on the roster right now. Their cornerbacks are going to be young. Their safety is going to be young. Their first eight games, the Chiefs' first eight games are brutal, and they're going to face some really good offensive teams, and I think those teams are really going to try to take advantage of that situation early on in the season.
Yeah, so you have all those points, and then number two, what's new in the AFC West? Well, how about this? Deontay Adams with the Vegas, one of the best receivers in the NFL, has moved over, an elite player.
Right.
Not a great player, an elite player. Khalil Mack has moved over to the Chargers.
Chargers.
In the division.
Mm-hmm.
Another elite player. And then Russell Wilson, I don't care what you say about the guy. The guy's a winner. He's a great player. I don't know if he's elite, but he's a great player. He's gone to the Broncos. So, I mean, everybody's got an elite or a great player added to their team. So you talk about, okay, well, let's talk about the Chiefs' schedule. The Chiefs have the toughest schedule in the AFC West, maybe even the league.
Yeah, they look like they have the toughest schedule in the league.
Right.
So
four of their first seven games are on the road, right?
Right.
Week seven going into the bye will be against Tampa, which is Tom Brady. And a team that's been right there over the last couple of years, and if Tom Brady's playing at all like Tom Brady, that is a tough game on the road to win. The Chiefs will be favored in their first three home games, but really, on their road games, it'll be interesting. This is unusual for the Chiefs. It'll be interesting to see if they're the favorite team or they're the underdog going on the road,
yeah,
which is a different thing. Now, remember, they have week eight. They have a bye. So, you know, if the Chiefs go to start out the season 5-3, that's pretty good.
No,
I think 4-4 is probably possible. 6-2 would be, you'd be elated. It's going to be 5-3 or 4-4, and a lot of people think 4-4 is where it's going to be for the first eight. You know, right going into that bye week, 4-4, or right after the bye week, 4-4 is where the Chiefs will be sitting. Now, the end of their schedule is a little bit easier, so they should make a run. But what is the psyche of the Kansas City Chiefs fan who doesn't listen to this show, which, God forbid, don't do that. But if you don't listen to this show and you haven't heard the Chiefs, you know, they have a tough schedule, and they 4-4 isn't a horrible deal to start the season. Chiefs fans are going to be freaking out with a 4-4 going into the bye.
Well, then you'd have to win. You know, you're going to week seven. Then you'd have to – you could only afford to lose two more games if you're going to finish with six losses. So yeah. That makes it really tough. But at the Arizona opening week, I think it's like a three-point. I think the Chiefs would be favored to beat Arizona, okay?
Yeah,
they can go and play the Chargers, and they'll be favored in that game. Then they go to Indy. That's going to be more of a toss-up than you think, okay? Because they now have Matt Ryan at quarterback. Then Kansas City travels to Tampa Bay. They will probably be underdogs for that game. The Raiders come to Kansas City. They'll be favored in that game. Buffalo at Kansas City. Buffalo could end up being favored in that football game, where it's going to be very close. And then they go to San Francisco. A game they should win, but it also be, you know, it's probably going to be like a, they might be a 2 or 3 point favorite against 49ers. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And everybody that they're playing basically has is a good team, except maybe the Houston Texans are a disaster. So, but they've got, in the second half, they've got Tennessee. They've got the Chargers in L.A. They've got the Rams at home, the defending Super Bowl champs. You got to go to Cincinnati again. You got to go to Denver during that period of time. Houston won't be a problem. Then Seattle comes here, Denver comes here, and then the Chiefs visit the Raiders in the last game of the season on either the 7th or the 8th of January. And whether or not, if they have something secure and they don't have to play the first team. But I have a strange feeling that game is going to mean something. Either to the Chiefs, both maybe to the Chiefs and the Raiders both. I think that's going to be a whale of a game at the end of the year. And I think it's going to have meaning for both teams.
All right, so real quick, I'm going to go through and I'll just ask you what you think. Raiders, they added Josh McDaniels as the new coach. Key additions is Adams, and Chandler Jones. They're the only team that hasn't been predicted to win 10 games. My prediction for them is 8-9. What's your prediction?
Yeah, I think they'll be right around 500.
All right, the Chargers added Khalil Mack, and of course they have Justin Herbert, one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Young guy. My prediction for them is 11-6.
Yeah, they're going to be the ones that will battle the Chiefs for a division title, I think, more than anyone else in the division. I know everybody says this every year, Chargers are always a sexy pick, but I think they really, and if they get away a little bit from the analytics and going for it on all those crazy downs they try to do for it, we'll have to see what happens there. But I think they'll be definitely 11 or 12 win team, yes.
All right, and then the last team is the Broncos, Nathaniel Hackett. I love this kid, good kid. He's not a kid anymore. He's an adult, but he was just a kid who was here with Paul. They added Russell Wilson. Little known fact, they have the easiest schedule in the AFC West.
Right.
That's why a lot of people think they're going to win 10 games, and that's what I'm predicting, 10-7.
Yeah.
What's your prediction?
Yeah, I think they're going to be right there. Their schedule is pretty good. It favors them a lot. Russell Wilson's going to bring a lot to that football team, and they have a lot of parts. They just have never, you know, the quarterback situation for them has been a little weird. So with Russell Wilson coming in and gelling at that position, I really think it's going to help. Although he is a first-year quarterback with that team, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. But, I the AFC West is going to be tough. Period. It's just going to be tough.
All right, Frank, I know you're going to be playing some sound here in the next segment. I want to thank our great friends from CBD, American Shaman. And you guys know you get, 30% off, Frank? Is it 30% off?
30% off.
30% off.
30.
Right now at all stores all over the metro area. If you're driving around, it's a beautiful evening. You're just driving and you look over and you see an American Shaman store, stop on in. Get yourself some sparkling water, some sparkling tea with a little bit of CBD hemp product in it. And then, of course, you have your water solubles, you have your gummies, you have your topical lotions, you have your skin lotions, you have your suntan lotion, you have your lip balms. You have all kinds of great stuff. All you got to do is go in and ask, hey, listen, you know, I got this going on or that going on. Can you help me out? They're awesome. They will take care of you. So for everybody out there, don't forget about popping into a CBD America Shaman store right now. 30% off all products. So, Frankie, I'm going to give you the keys to the Cadillac.
Oh boy!
Take it home. So I'm going to head back out here on the field. And guys, once again, dead serious. If you have some kids and you're looking for a little entertainment, Turner built a brand new, beautiful stadium right up here in Wyandotte County. Pop on in next Thursday. Game starts at 7 o'clock. It'll be the Kansas Metro High School All-Stars against the Missouri Metro High School All-Stars. And the kids, that would be a nice evening out. The weather's supposed to be nice, maybe a little bit hot, but weather's supposed to be nice. But come on out and support these kids, as some of them will be the last football game they ever play in, and some of them will be heading out to college, and you'll be able to see them at all kinds of different colleges all over the region. But it's fun to be out here with these kids. And if you can go out and watch a game, it'd be really nice of you to do that. Once again, next Thursday, 7 p.m., right here at Turner. I don't know. Don't ask me how you can get tickets. I have no idea. Call somebody. I don't know. But I'm sure you could just
don't
show
call
up
Tim. Don't call Tim.
Just don't call me. I'm just coaching the guy. I have no idea how to get tickets. But my wife and kids are all coming, and see if I can talk Frank into coming. Frank, why don't you come and, people don't know that Frank was a college coach at Villanova and has been a great coach over the years. Why don't you come and,
hey,
one
Tim.
Of these times you need to come and work in one of these camps.
Hey,
I don't
Tim.
Care if you're 85 years old.
Hey, yeah. Tim, we have a show next week from 6 to 7. Somebody's got to do it. Okay.
Well, we'll do it from here. I'll be doing it. We'll do it just like this. I'll be watching everybody walk in. We're going to do the show from 6 to 6:30, I'll do the show.
Tim.
Or Frank, maybe we'll tell some secrets and we'll take
Tim,
something. How about that?
Tim.
What?
You've been listening to
Crunch Time.
All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. Frank Bull here. Timmy's out coaching those young gentlemen out at Turner Field, where they will play an all-star game 1 week from tonight. You can either get tickets online, kcprepfootball.org, or you can buy them at the gate. Tickets are just $10, okay? $10 a piece for the tick. Turner Field, next Thursday, kcprepfootball.org, $10 a ticket. Go on out and have yourself some fun. You'll see some great young talent from this area. So we're talking about Orlando Brown Jr. and everything that's going on with him. I'm going to reprise this just a little bit. First of all, Orlando Brown had to find an agent, right? That was the first thing Orlando Brown had to do. And he actually picked an agent who has had absolutely no experience ever negotiating an NFL contract.
Yeah, man, really, I mean, a ton of different things. That's what really took the process so long, man, is figuring out, kind of what I needed and understanding that we built a personal relationship with his dad being and working in the health system. And, my background in diabetes and my dad had died from diabetes and my brother being a type 1 diabetic and one of my best friends being a type 1 diabetic as well. So we bonded from a personal level on that. He also understood, what I want to do from a marketing point, what I want to do as far as my brand and continue to grow those things and also working within the community. Like I said, man, he comes from a background of health and all of that, man. So we understood those different things.
Yeah, so Orlando Brown very big on the working through the healthcare situation with the diabetes, and he is going to be all part of that as he continues on his career. The best way to build your brand, however, is to win football games. Okay, Kansas City Chiefs a pretty good team to help build that brand with as you move forward. So I hope he keeps that in mind when he is negotiating his contract. And then Andy Reid was asked today about Brown's new agent.
He's talked to the people that are working with Orlando, and they'll keep doing that. So it's good that he's taking that step forward, for sure.
When you've got a franchise tag player, they're in a unique situation. Sometimes things either get said by the agent or the player. How do you compartmentalize that, for yourself and for the team?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there are things that are said, and half of it might not have been really said, and the other half, maybe was. My thing is you just try to do what you have to do to make it right and be as honest as you can. So, and we're quiet about that. We try to do everything behind the, you know, with the person that we're involved with and not tell the world about it. So that's how we go about business. Our guys are very honest and deliberate, and we've always, you know, which I think is a great way to go and something Clark believes in, but fair for the player, fair for the team, let's roll. And so, and that can be done, you know, with a good working relationship.
Yeah, and I think Andy was asked that question because of what Orlando Brown had said during his NFL Network interview. He just sort of left it out there, and we played this in the first segment we were with Timmy, but here he is again talking about trying to get a new deal with the Chiefs.
Very confident, man, especially simply based off the things that have come into effect within our division, man, the type of defensive ends that have been brought in, the type of players and all of that type of stuff, man. It's not the year to go into a season with a backup left tackle. So, you know, I'm very confident that the Kansas City Chiefs will get that done.
So when he says that, you sort of, that really perks your ears up. That's the part of that interview that really got everybody's attention. Sounds like if he doesn't get the deal he wants, he could sit. And the Chiefs would be in a pretty bad situation if he decides to sit. Therefore, he's in a pretty good negotiating position, especially when you talk about the AFC edge rushers. Denver Bradley. Excuse me, okay. With Denver, with Bradley Chubb and Randy Gregory. The Raiders with Max Crosby and Chandler Jones. And the Chargers with Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, all in their own division. The edge rushers you're going to need. Two really good offensive tackles and a really cohesive offensive line. That's why you don't want to start switching a lot of guys around if Orlando Brown decides to sit and not sign that contract, or if whomever you are playing on the right side doesn't really work out either. So really worried about that during the whole offseason, about who's going to play right tackle. I was just assuming Orlando Brown, which I shouldn't have done, was going to be the left tackle, but who was going to play right tackle? I mean, they have some bodies. They have a rookie in Kennard that they have high hopes for, but gosh, to send him right out there at on week one, it'll be interesting to see if he is that quick to get it done. So there's a lot going on as far as Andy Reid, Brett Veach, the Chiefs organization, and Brown. And Andy was asked about the Brown contract getting done.
Yeah, I think that way. I mean, Orlando, we love Orlando here, so he's a good human being, and he's a good professional. He's grown up around it. I think he's got good counsel. So, you know, we'll just got to work through it. I mean, I don't see anything that, you know, that's going to get in the way. That we just had the guys working together, keeping everything open like any other opportunity that you have to do deals with players. They normally don't happen overnight. So you work through it, and then, again, you come up with something that that's good for the team. I know Orlando has a ton of respect for winning and all that stuff. So, you know, you're juggling. Peach has got to do this. So I can say he's got to juggle all the salary cap, which is a crazy deal. So, but the agents understand that.
Yeah, they do. Of course, most of the agents who understand that are agents who have worked in the NFL and with NFL players before, as Orlando Brown's has not. So that agent is, I hope he's talking to other agents. I also hope that he is studying up on things he can and can't do, and all those sort of things, and what you want to get in that contract. So it's what's best for his client, Orlando Brown, and the Chiefs are going to certainly want what's best for them and then try to squeeze everything under the salary cap. So it's going to be pretty interesting to see what happens. Also out of Arrowhead today, Andy Reid was talking about Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and he was asked what he's seen so far from MVS.
He's a big kid, but he's got real good flexibility, hips. He can change direction, and he's got that speed, which I think we all knew he had. And he's in, you know, he's able to work some of the primary underneath routes that he maybe didn't do quite as much in Green Bay because of who they had there. So I've been pleased with how he goes by. Very, very smart kid. And so he's doing a nice job for us, working hard.
Yeah, and They like him, and Juju, of course, we have Juju Smith-Schuster is here as well. They are trying to fill the void along with Mecole Hardman and other, you know, maybe Sky Moore, who has been looking very good, everybody says, out at the OTAs. And we'll have to see how that all works out, too, with a rookie. But he has great speed as well. But everybody's trying to fill the void that has been left by Tyreek Hill, who is now a Miami Dolphin. So it'll be interesting to see how that all works out. They'll have to spread the ball around a little bit more. They won't be targeting one player as many times as they targeted Tyreek Hill, of course. We all know that. And so Andy was asked, who is the number one receiver?
Yeah, I've never really gotten into that. We don't have a position for the number one guy necessarily. I mean, everybody gets an opportunity. I think if you can spread it around a little bit, I think that's the best that you can do. So we've tried to do that, although the great ones always make a play here or there. So then people go, well, he's the number one guy. Well, we don't really determine it that way. So that we give them all plays, that their position, every one of them have plays in the offense and offense that gets called. So it's just a matter of what the defense presents to it and then how you handle it from there.
Yeah, they're just going to have to spread the ball around to all those receivers. And, of course, Travis Kelce is still a very valuable member of the Chiefs offense. So he's going to be important to get his as well. Kelce's pretty unselfish player. So as long as they're winning football games, he's not too concerned about how many times he's getting targeted. But if they are winning, he will definitely be in the mix. There's no doubt about that because of his ability. He's just like a wide receiver. The way he moves, his fluidity, the way he can juke players, the defensive backs and safeties. He is, and then if it does come down to getting the extra yard or two, he can just bowl those guys over as well. So it's going to be an interesting look for the offense. And I really think they're going to try to run the ball a little bit more. I think they saw that happen the second half of the Cincinnati game in the AFC Championship game. Cincinnati's rushing three guys, and the Chiefs are still trying to throw the ball downfield instead of running the ball and getting them out of that defense, which was just stymieing the Chiefs. They're just awful in the second half of that game. I think running the football really would have helped them out a lot. So, we'll just have to see what happens as far as that's concerned. Defenses are going to have to reevaluate how they defend against the Chiefs as well, because now they do have so many other targets. The only two guys they really had to worry about were Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Now they have a whole crew. Kelsey's still here, of course, but now they have a whole crew of other guys who are established veterans who have really made a mark in the league and will get defensive coordinators' attention as they, start to go up against the Chiefs. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And also, I think a lot of people thought the no-look pass was originated by Patrick Mahomes. Well, according to MVS, he had some no-look passes from a different quarterback.
I had the first quarterback that did it, so I got that a lot. You kind of just always be aware of the ball can come to you at any given time. Playing with Aaron for 4 years, he did it a lot. I think one of my first passes that he threw to me in training camp was a no-look pass. So I'm accustomed to it and just always be prepared because they have eyes in the back of their head and they can throw the football any kind of way, behind his head, wherever, So Pat's gifted like that where he can, do those kind of things. And I'm just excited to have another quarterback that is just that talented.
At least he's used to it. If I was a wide receiver, the no-look pass would confuse the hell out of me. I just go, it's coming my way. They get used to it when they're out there practicing with him. And I'm sure they do a lot of individual drills with that no-look pass going to the wide receivers and just, showing how he sets it up and just be ready. Everybody be ready. It's, if you're open, you're going, gosh, he's not even looking at me. That ball could end up right up in your face mask. So you just better be prepared for what's going to happen. And we talked about the running game and being able to get the running game going. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, of course, he has been injured for a lot of his career. I think, 30 39 games. He's played in 26. I think there's a possibility he could have played in 39 games for the Kansas City Chiefs in career, but he's only been available for 26. That's been the big knock against him as far as being a running back. He has tremendous ability, but you can't use that ability unless you're out there on the field. And he was asked about the urgency for him in year three.
Most definitely, but I mean, I wouldn't just pinpoint it as, you know, year three. I was looking at it the same way. The first year I got drafted, everybody was like, oh, you know, this. Second year, deal with some injuries, and now, you know, it's year three. So it's like, everybody's like, you know, that. But it's always a sense of urgency for me. So that's just what it is.
So no different than the first two, then?
As far as that preparation
sense,
or
sense of urgency that you just mentioned? You said you
should. I don't know. You know, being able to do the things that I did, starting running back as a rookie playing the Super Bowl and then really just battling the injuries through last year, I feel like I bring the intensity and as far as being a professional from the offseason and coming into the season, I do everything I need to.
Yeah, so they really need him to be back to 100%. And the other guy we don't talk about a whole lot, we sort of shoved him off to the side now that we're looking at MVS and Juju Smith-Schuster, is Mecole Hardman. He could really have a breakout year. I mean, if he sees what happened with Tyreek Hill and everything that happened with Tyreek and his relationship with Pat Mahomes, and, you know, Mecole Hardman finally showed up down in Texas with Patrick, and that was a good sign to see him do that. This could be a really big breakout year for him. And if he sees the kind of money that Tyreek got, and if he could try to get himself, he probably wouldn't be in that stratosphere, of course, but he could see he could end up making a lot of money somewhere. If it's either with the Chiefs or somewhere else, it would be behoove him to really bring his A game to the Kansas City Chiefs for this season. I really think he's going to have a good year. I just think, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to really look to him, because he's been in the offense for 2 years, to really step up his game and be that guy who be probably even better than MVS and Juju Smith-Schuster. I think he'd really like to have him, you know, really ascend to that level and really become his number one receiver. So it'll be interesting to see. Chiefs, you know, they're going to be Super Bowl contenders as long as they have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. They have an extremely difficult schedule, especially early. They're going to be young, trying to figure it out. They're going to need some. They're going to really have to solidify the offensive line. If Orlando Brown does sign, they got to get a guy out to the right side and try to make sure he's, you know, he's up to the task. And then defensive line, they need another edge rusher, whether Karlaftis can do it or somebody else can do it, because of the rotation we'll see. Chris Jones is going to have a banner year. Linebackers, I feel pretty good about Chiefs linebackers. As far as corners are concerned, they're going to get picked on early, and so will the safeties. So they're going to need a pass rush somehow, some way. A lot to talk about. We'll be back next week. Don't forget, if you want to go to that high school football game where Timmy is coaching the offensive line, kcprepfootball.org, $10 a ticket, or you can buy the tickets at the gate. It's at Turner Field next Thursday. You've been listening to Crunch Time.